Ephesians 4, verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Today we start in verse number 8, and says the Apostle Paul, wherefore, indicating that he's going to explain what he's been saying in verse number 7 with regard to giving of gifts. And he quotes in this verse from Psalm number 68 and verse number 18. What is interesting, that when you go back to that psalm and lay that verse alongside this verse, Paul, he does alter the wording in his quotation, because he wants now to apply that verse to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll observe in this passage that it opens with the Lord Jesus Christ as the ascended head of the church in heaven, providing for the maturing, the completion, the edifying of the church, which is his body, here upon earth. When you come to the last two verses, I mean verses 15 and 16, the apostle now puts emphasis upon our responsibility as members of that body, that we should be so moving together in unity so as to encourage all, that we might all arrive at that particular future that Christ has before him. So the Lord has made provision as a head in heaven. We have our responsibility by using what God has given to us, that we may be to the encouragement in building up of one another as members of that body. But then in verse number 14, he just sounds a word of warning. He do not want us to be as children. The word is babes, because as children or babes, we are in danger of being carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the craftiness of men. And so this little passage which we occupy with today is going to take up the great thought of Christ the head in heaven and his provision for the church. You notice he says three things in verse 8. He talks first of all about the Lord Jesus having ascended up into heaven. The second thing he says is he led captivity captive. And the third thing he says, and gave gifts unto men. If you were to go now straight to verse 11, you would see and some, and he continues the subject. But he does break off and puts into brackets verse 9 and verse 10. What Paul wants to do first and foremost is to confirm and establish in our minds the truth of the ascension of Christ, that Christ is the ascended head of the church who is in heaven. And so he quotes from Psalm 68, and now we find in these two verses he's going to explain to us about the ascension of Christ. So let's think about that first of all. So now he that ascended. So we talk about the Lord having ascended. First descended. In other words, the Lord could never have ascended had he not descended. And having descended, the apostle goes further and says, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, that little expression has caused a divergence of thought. Is he talking about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into time and took upon him humanity? Or is he talking about the Lord Jesus Christ between his death and resurrection, going into Hades and to preach to the spirits that are in prison that Peter refers to? Or is there another meaning? Well, you notice, first of all, the apostle is talking about the ascension. Christ in his ascension. That is Christ in heaven. Therefore, he says, when he descended, that little word first. Mr. Darby, I noticed in his translation, omits the verse, the word. And other translations do the same. And by omitting that word first, we get perhaps the force of what Paul is saying. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. I take it that what Paul is saying to us, that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into time, he descended into death itself. And he descended into the grave. And so when he thinks about the Lord Jesus as one who descended into the lower parts of the earth, it means he entered into death itself. And after all, as Hebrews chapter 2 reminds us, the purpose of his entering into humanity was that he might suffer death. And he tasted death for everything. And of course, if we learn from Philippians chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ, he became obedient unto death. And so what Paul is saying to us, when the Lord descended into the lower parts of the earth, he descended into death itself and then into the grave. But he who descended so low, God has raised him to be so high, for he has ascended above the heavens. Very interesting, because when we think about the heavens, we find there are three heavens in Scripture. We find there is, first of all, the atmospheric heavens. That's the realm of the birds. And then, of course, there are the stellar heavens, the sun and the moon and the stars. But above all that, and outside of the universe, we have God's eternal heaven. And what Paul is saying to us, that when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, he ascended far above the heavens where the birds operate, far above the stellar heavens, he entered into heaven itself. So the scripture reminds us, in the epistle of the Hebrews, he passed through the heavens. That would explain, perhaps, the statement in verse number 8, he led captivity captive. For you see, at the cross, the devil no doubt thought he had accomplished his purpose. From when the Lord Jesus Christ was but an infant child, he used Herod to send out his army to kill all the boys and all the children under 2 years of age, in the express purpose of killing the Lord Jesus Christ. But he failed. But when he saw the Lord Jesus now dead upon the cross, maybe he thought he accomplished his end. But of course we know that on the third day, God raised him out from among the dead by the exceeding greatness of his power. And we find the devil could not defeat the Lord Jesus Christ in death. Now we learn he could not impede his progress through the heavens into heaven itself. For those heavens of which the scripture speaks are the domain of Satan and his host. That's the place from which they operate. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, having descended, he now ascends right up through the very domain where the devil operates, indicating to us that here we see the complete victory. As the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered every enemy, and it's like he's leading captivity captive as he ascends into heaven itself. That's the picture that Paul paints for us in those little verses in brackets. Now he comes to the point. He gave gifts unto men. To some, he gave to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It does seem, does it not, that the ascended Lord has made provision for his church, his body here upon the earth, by giving five gifts. Those gifts that were in men. And we do know that from the very beginning of the church, there were the apostles, and there were the prophets. They were all part and parcel of the foundation of the church, which Christ was building. And so we learn from chapter 2 of this epistle that the ministry of the apostles and prophets was laying a foundation in their ministry upon the foundation, even the rock, which is Christ himself. And so we have apostles and prophets linked with the church in its commencement. We find, of course, when you come to Acts chapter 13, there are still apostles and prophets. And so we find that there is, in that first century of church testimony, the Lord had given apostles and prophets. And so an apostle was one sent from God, and a prophet one who spoke for God. And so the apostle said, the first of the provision that Christ as the ascended head is made for his church on earth is that the apostles could come. And the apostle would come, and they would speak with the authority of heaven, and the prophets, by revelations given to them, would speak also unto the church. I do observe, of course, that when we do go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find there are apostles and prophets mentioned there, indicating to us that during those early years, when God was establishing the church as a new thing on the earth, we find the apostles and prophets are associated with it in its earliest days. But now we come to that which is no longer so. We do not have apostles today. We do not have prophets today. So just as we do not have those today, it's indicative, is it not, that the gifts that are spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 were not permanent. They were for the early church history, when God was establishing in this world something altogether new. And so says the apostle, here's what the ascended Lord has given, and given us permanent gifts. So as long as the church is here upon the earth, whilst the building is being builded, then we have evangelists, and we have pastors and teachers. And of course, the sphere of the evangelist is the world. And the evangelist goes out into the world, and with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he preaches. And as a result of the preaching, all that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are brought into the body, and they become members of the body of Christ. And then the apostle says there's a further need among the members of the body. Therefore, he's given some pastors. The word most probably is shepherds. And so the Lord saw that the members of his body here upon the earth would need shepherd care. They would need a watchful eye. They would need to be fed in order that there might be growth in the members. And so we find that the Lord, he gave some pastors. And so we have those shepherds whose ministry was not so much in the world. Their ministry was linked with the church, the believers. And they had a particular ministry of shepherding the saints of God as members of the body of Christ, that they may just be brought to full growth and cared for and watched over in the course of the testimony. Then he speaks about teachers. Now, because the word some is not there before teachers, it has been suggested that it's the pastor teacher that is suggested. I just want to say to you, we need evangelists. They operate in the world. We need shepherds. They operate among the saints. We need teachers. Teachers who can instruct us in the doctrines of divine truth. And so I would suggest to you that here we have three different offices or three different gifts, evangelist, shepherds, and teachers. And so we find in the epistles of the apostles, we are brought out teaching. We have doctrines in relation to the truth of God, and it's been committed to us by those who are teachers. And so the apostle just says to us that these are the gifts that Christ has given as the ascended head to the church, whilst it is here upon the earth.
The perfecting of the saints.
Now what he wants to do is to bring the saints, it says to the perfecting of the saints. The idea would be to the maturing of the saints. He wants to be brought to maturity. So we will not always be children, as he says in that verse I've already referred to, being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The whole point of these gifts is that there may be a maturing of the members of the body of Christ. So it's to the perfecting of the saints. And to the work of the ministry. So there is a ministry to be carried on within the church period. And we find that the work of the teacher in particular is to encourage the service of the individual members. So not only that we might all be brought to a state of maturity, but we might all be encouraged in our service for Christ, for the good of the body.
To all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Now he says a very interesting thing. To we all come into the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. So we learn from that statement that the whole point of these gifts given to the church is that ultimately every member we brought actually into a full knowledge of the Son of God. And so we're all then moving to the unity of the faith. Now you know as well as I, from other verses in Scripture, that faith is associated with salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith. So this faith that's associated with salvation, that's personal faith. We also know there is one faith, as we saw in the earlier verse of the chapter, one faith. That is, there's one doctrine. There's one complete doctrine, the faith, which we are to contend for, as Jude reminds us. Now, Paul isn't talking about our personal faith that brought us into the blessing of salvation. He's not talking about the one faith, you know, that contains all the doctrine in relation to Christ. He's talking about the unity of the faith associated with the full knowledge of the Son of God. And so I take it that the end in view of these gifts being given is that ultimately every member in the body of Christ might be brought into the unity of the faith and to a full knowledge of the Son of God.
Please. And a perfect man.
And he talks about a perfect man. That means a full-grown man. And you'll remember that in chapter 2, he speaks of the church as one new man. Here the apostle is speaking of it in its ultimate. That one new man will be a completely full-grown man. He's going to come, actually, into that fullness of growth.
Stature of the fullness of Christ. And to the measure of the
stature. And to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Yes. So you see that what the apostle is saying to us, that the reason why these gifts have been given is that we might be brought ultimately, this is the end in view, that we might be brought into that full growth, that adulthood, as we may say, that we might be brought ultimately into the full measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. And so it is against that background, the reason why these particular gifts are given, that the apostle now is going to speak unto these believers at Ephesus. Just a word of warning. The whole point is that ye may not be children. They may not be babes. That's why it is so important for us to be exposed unto the teaching and the shepherd care of these men who have been given by the ascended head for the encouragement and establishment and the growth of the individual members, so they would not be babes. Because as babes, says the apostle, we're in danger of being carried to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So the apostle is saying to us, we must pay attention and take heed to and develop by the these gifts that have been given in men, that each believer might be brought to maturity in Christ. Now he says about this doctrine, these winds of doctrine. You see, just as the Lord Jesus Christ has his men in whom gift has been given for the establishing of the saints, the devil has his men. There are men who are actually working in craftiness, that is, you know, with guile and deceit. It's working to this end that they might actually disturb the foundation as far as the saints are concerned. And if we just remain as children, how easy it is to be just moved about, as it were, to and fro by every wind of doctrine, that is, by men. Satan has filled the world with all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of doctrines that are altogether anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Christ. And says the apostle, we need to give heed. We need to be subject to these gifted men whom Christ has given to the church, lest we just remain as children. There'd be no growth, no maturity. And in that state, then we're in danger of just being driven to and fro by every wind of doctrine that these men, in their craftiness, in their deceit, would bring and seek to unfound, if you will, move off the foundation, these who are still babes in Christ. And so the apostle, in this old section, is dealing with very important truth, because he's dealing with the church as the body of Christ. He's dealing with each member that forms that body of Christ. And now in the last two verses, he's going to explain to us the responsibility of each member of the body of Christ, please.
Speaking the truth in love.
Now he says, first of all, before you begin, says the apostle, I want to remind you that as you're going to encourage and build up one another, edify one another, we must be speaking the truth in love. In other words, there has to be that atmosphere among the fellow believers, an atmosphere of love. And so that when we speak, when we encourage, when we edify one another, it should be in that atmosphere of love. Please.
All things which is ahead, even quicker up in him.
So that, again, the apostle is bringing before us the great truth of Christ, who is the head, even Christ. In fact, Mr. Darby, when he translates this verse, he speaks that we might grow up unto the head, even the Christ. And that title always, when it's the Christ, means the head in heaven and the body on earth. And all the time that the body is here upon the earth, Paul is looking for the members of that body to grow up. That is, to come to full growth, to mature, and that in Christ himself. So now then, says the apostle, you see, the whole body is fitly framed together. Every believer in the Lord Jesus, every member in that body, we've been fitly framed together. You see, there's a unity. There's a togetherness. And that has been the expression of the apostle, of course, in the earlier chapters with regard to Jew and Gentile. And so it is now. We find that Paul is saying to us as members of that body that we should actually be edifying one another.
By that which every joint supplies.
Now you see, every joint is encouraged by the apostle to supply. So there will be a unity in the body, compact in everything together. So every member of the body of Christ, we all have a responsibility. And we all have a place. We all have a particular ministry in this sense, that we are to encourage one another as members of the same body, that we might, they might be brought about to everyone that maturity which the apostle has been speaking of in these earlier verses, please.
In the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself.
So we're going to make increase of the body, and that every member and each and all of us are going to, through the ministry of each one serving, each one playing their part, each one actually just putting in their particular effort into the body, that it might increase, and until we should be brought ultimately to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. See, throughout this whole section, Paul is aiming at bringing us to full maturity. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ himself has ascended upon high, that he himself might fill all things. That's the whole purpose. That was the view in his ascension, that to ascend above the heavens, that ultimately he might fill in himself all things. And now, we as members of the body of Christ, we are also just to be those who will fill ourselves, as it were, in Christ, please.
That's the ending. This I say, therefore, testifying.
So we have then, in this sort of section, this very important truth in relation to the giving of gifts to the church, and those gifts which actually obtain today, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and every company of Christians need the ministry of such men gifted by the ascended Lord, that ultimately we might all be brought to that fullness of the stature of Christ, and that for his glory, and of course for our eternal blessing. So we just leave it there, because verse 17 to the end of the chapter introduces us to another section. No longer walk worthy, as at the beginning of this chapter. Verse 17, we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk. So you're going to take up now a negative side of things, but that is for another occasion. And we trust that God will just bless our thoughts together over this passage. Thank you.